My name is Garland Robinson. You know, the world in which we live is plagued with problems. All kinds of problems. Wherever men live, there's sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. That is, it's a violation of what God has commanded in His Word. We read in Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So no matter who you are, or who it is that lives in the world, there's no one sinlessly perfect. We all are human, we all make mistakes, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. So wherever men are, there is sin, and sin brings about problems. Sin exists even in the Lord's church. We don't deny that. It did so even in the church of the first century, for example. In Acts chapter 5, we read about dishonesty. There was a married couple named Ananias and Sapphira. They were members of the church, but they lied about a certain land they had that they sold, and they brought part of the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet as a contribution. And yet they lied about it. They said they gave everything, but they didn't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read about immorality. Here we learn about a man that was living with his stepmother, committing adultery, fornication with her. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we learn about division. There were some in the church at Corinth that were divided. Some said, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I'm of Paul. And we learn about division. We learn about prejudice in James chapter 2. Here there were some to whom James was writing that were playing favoritism to individuals. They would favor one person over another depending upon how they were dressed or how they appeared to be more wealthy, perhaps, than someone else. We learn about false teachers in 1 Timothy chapter 4 or 2 Peter chapter 2. And we find even that elders sometimes sin and they lead others astray in Acts chapter 20. So there is problem. There's always going to be problems because people are human. And so God loves us, though, and He's given us the Bible to tell us what to do to have forgiveness of our sins. We need to understand that the penalty of sin is death, both physical and spiritual. We're all going to die physically, and when we sin, violate the Word of God, we die spiritually also. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. In James chapter 1 and verse 15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, we read, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we become a servant of sin when we sin. But friend, the church today faces the same kind of problems that it was plagued with throughout the centuries. There are those who seek to add to God's Word. There are those who seek to take away from God's Word. We think about this as binding and loosing. There are those who bind, make laws where God has not bound. Where God made no law, they make a law and they seek to bind that upon other people. For example, there are some that make a law that says that brethren cannot eat a meal together at the same place where they worship. They're making a law that God did not make. There are those who would loose laws that God has made. That is, they would violate the will of God and say, well, I really don't care what God said about it. I'm going to do this anyway, and we can still be in God's favor. For example, the Lord made the law that those who divorce their spouse, except it be for their spouse's fornication and marry again, are living in adultery. But there are people say, no, that won't work. We can divorce and remarry for any cause. It doesn't matter. God just wants us to be happy. So they violate and do not recognize a law that God did make. One of the grave problems in the world today comes from within our own ranks. Men and women seeking to be free from God's law is one of the greatest problems we face. There are those who would say will set us free from the shackles of strict adherence to God's Word. Well, I don't want to be bound by God's Word. Oh, I want to live it up. I want to do what I want to do, and I still want God to accept me. Well, sound, wholesome words of truth and soberness are despised by such people. They don't want the truth. They don't want this fullness of God's Word. But you know what 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 says? Here we find where God exhorts us to hold fast the form of sound words. That is our obligation, each and every one of us. Hold fast the form of sound words. Why? Because the Bible is our only guide. The Bible is one book. It is God's Word. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It teaches us in every area what God expects of us, not only in what to do to have forgiveness of our sins, but how to live to be pleasing in God's sight, so that we might be able to go to heaven when we die. So the Bible is only one book. It's not confusing. We read in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of confusion. If men are confused, if men believe this and that, and do this and that, it's because of their own thinking, their own way, not God's fault. So we need to recognize and know that we've got to go back to the Bible and do only what it says. The very Word of God is the Word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That Word is the only means that we have of salvation. Without the Word, there is no faith. And without faith, you cannot please God. We read in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. So if I don't have faith, I can't please God. If you do not have faith, you cannot please God. And so faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Then we read what Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." What is the power of God? The Word of Christ, faith in Him, the gospel, and our obedience to it. That's how we become children of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of one's heart." The Word of God, that is our link with God. The living Word is to be preached around the world. In the Great Commission, the Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark 16 and verse 15. The Lord made clear in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So friend, if we know the Bible is the book from which we're going to be judged, then why not live according to it? Why not study it? Why not look and learn what it is? Friend, the Word of Christ is the only guide. It's the only direction. It's the only beacon that can direct men to heaven. And if we corrupt it, if we change it, if we add to it, if we take from it, then it's not going to serve the purpose for which God intended. God expects His people to preach the truth. We must preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He expects us to live the truth. He expects us to stand fast in the truth. And any time we forget who we are, when we forget whom we represent or whom we are to proclaim, then the devil is going to claim our soul as just as he has the rest of the world. Friend, we must go back to the Bible. We must walk in the old paths. That just simply means the way that God originally instructed. In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16, we read, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, the righteous way, and walk therein." But you know what many in Jeremiah's day said about it? They simply recanted back and said, "We will not walk therein." Oh, how sad that is. There are far too many today that are saying the same thing. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to follow God's way. I'm not going to go strictly by what the Bible says. We need to be more liberal than that. We need to make allowances. That's what people are saying. But they're saying it and breaking and violating the will of God. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 that we are to speak as the oracles of God. That just simply means we speak where God speaks, and we remain silent where God has not legislated or has not spoken. That is, we do not make a law where God did not make a law. We respect His Word. We must be doing what He says. And if we do that, then we'll be blessed among all the people of the earth. Friend, God is on our side when we do His will. The words of the Savior at the final last day will be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear those words? Surely you do. We don't want to hear the words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Don't want to hear those words. We want to hear the good words, "Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Friend, won't you obey the gospel today? If we can assist you in that, why not believe to the saving of your soul, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing faith in Christ? You can be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can be raised up to walk a newness of life out of the waters of baptism, and then live faithful all the days of your life. My name is Garland Robinson. We appreciate you joining us today.